All right, welcome to Moedon Ivri, Hebrew Club 2007. Glad to see everybody made it back safe from the break. And when we stopped for the Christmas break, we're at 1 Samuel chapter 8, and we just finished verse 9. Notice we had a paragraph marker there, the Setuman, open paragraph. And we're going to start verse 10. And if you will recall, the people had asked Samuel for a king. And in this little section that we're going to read now, Samuel tells them what's going to be expected if we go through with this request. And so let's take it up with verse 10. Vayomer Shemuel et kol divrei Yahweh el ha'am. Okay. And Samuel said, this is kind of an interesting use of Amar, because usually when you see Amar, you think, okay, direct speech is coming next. But notice that here you don't have direct speech, so you have to translate it much like we would usually translate Deber. See? So Samuel spoke et kol divrei, spoke all the words of Yahweh to the people. Alright? Now you get that every once in a while with Amar, but usually that's Deber. Ha sho'alim, those who asked. Notice that that's a simple call participle, masculine plural, from the root sha'al, and it's used as a substantive. So he spoke all the words to the people, those who had asked, may it to. That's from min, and then the preposition et, plus the suffix. Remember, Hebrew loves to pile together the prepositions. So, to the people, those who asked from him, asked a king from him, or asked for a king from him. All right? We're at verse 10 of 1 Samuel 8. All right? Any questions about anything in verse 10? That kind of starts us off real easy and goes from there. Okay? Verse 11. Vayomer zeh yeye mishpat hamelech asher yimlok alikem. Okay? And he said, zeh, this yihyeh, will be, now here you have this mishpat hamelech. Remember, it doesn't mean judgment here. He's talking about now what the king is going to expect. So a good translation would be something like this. And he said, this will be the practice of the king. Right, this will be the practice of the king, asher hu yimlok, will reign alekem, who will reign over you. Pause for the atnak. Et b'nei kem yikach v'sam lo be'mer kavto uve farashav v'ratzu lifnei mer kavto. Okay, notice the word order here. What's put in front of the verb? The object. So if you're reading it out loud, it probably gets a little more emphasis. And it's important, see, because he starts off kind of big. Your sons, yikach, he will take. What's the root of yikach? Lakah. See, your sons he will take. Vesam, the root is seen. Your sons he will take, and he will put them. And I think the lo, you can either translate that as the object, again referring back to the sons, but then you have an incongruity there, or make it just kind of reflexive and understand the object. He will put them for himself in Merkavto, in his chariotry. All right, so now notice this first part of the verse is talking about the military that the king is going to need. So he will appoint them for himself in his chariotry and on parashav and on his horses, veratsu, and they will run. Notice that that's from the roots, hollow root, just like kamu it would be. Here's roots, and they will run lifne before Merkavto, before his chariot. So notice they're foot soldiers as well. So he's going to take their sons for the military. Alright? Any questions about verse 11? When we get to verse 12, notice it starts out with a call infinitive construct. And it's kind of awkward here and rather unusual, because you would expect him to repeat the vav plus Psalm, Ba-Psalm, just like we saw in the previous verse, and he will put. But now it's literally, and to put. So you almost have to understand, go back to the Mishpat HaMelech, and understand something like, it will be the king's practice to place or to put. Okay? And it will be the king's practice to put for himself sarai, princes of Alephim, or leaders of thousands and sarai, and leaders of Hamishim, of 50s. Okay, so again, talking about the organization for military. Velacharosh, notice again, you have another call infinitive construct to plow. So he's moving to a different subject now, actually. And so again, you have to understand, and it will be the custom that Charosh, they will plow Charisho. Here's a rare word from the same root. You have never seen this word before, but just from the context, take a guess at what might be a good English translation. They will plow his ground, his fields, something like that. See, it's a rare word. Yeah, it's literally they will plow his plowing. But what they mean is they'll plow his acreage, his land, see. The lictor, and they will harvest. Notice, with each of these infinitives, you have to kind of understand what the subject of the infinitive is. It's not given. And so I'm trying to render it in good English. He's kind of, again, spoken Hebrew, and he's kind of being terse and rather compressed. So I'd have to say, they will plow his ground, and they will harvest his harvest. Velasot, what's the root? Asa, and again, infinitive construct. And they will make kale milchamto, vessels for his war. Okay? Milchama, notice that's milchama, and it's literally weapons. They will make his weapons. And kale, vessels of rikbo, from Rekev, again, chariots. So, and again, good English would be something like equipment for his chariots. So notice how I am translating the construct plus the genitive. What's the relationship between them? And then that's the first question I ask. And then what's the best way to render it in English? Remember, construct and genitives are very compressed statements again. So the second one, vessels for his chariots. All right. Any questions about verse 12? All right. Verse 13, he moves from sons to daughters. Ve'et benote kemiakach. And your daughters. See, again, he puts it first. Notice the word order. And your daughters he will take, yakach. And notice the Masoretes put an atnach under yakach. They just want you to pause there. And your daughters they will take. Le'rakachot. Okay, you don't know this word. For those who mix ointments. Perfumers is one more modern translation. But ointment mixers. And for tabachot. You know this word, tabach. Anyone know the root? To slaughter. And so it'd be for cooks, probably. All right, notice those two words, rakachot and tabachot. Notice the forms of those words. Very often when you have a root like tabach, first letter has a patach under it, then followed by a dagesh. Notice if it was in singular, it would be tabach, patach, comets. That is the form that's very frequently used to describe or refer to professions. Okay, so notice two professions, the perfumer profession and the cook or butcher profession. And for ofot, okay, what's the root? It's from afa, to bake. And so this is a participle, feminine, plural call. And for bakers, see? So he's going to take the women for perfumers, for cooks or butchers, and for bakers. Okay? So, you know, if you're listening, it's like, boy, this doesn't sound too good. All right. Now, that's not all he's going to take. Not only your sons and daughters, but verse 14. Ve'et sedotekem, ve'et karmekem, ve'zetekem, hatovim yakach. And your, you can guess what this is. You know the word. And your fields, from sadeh. And your fields and your karmekem, your vineyards. And zetekem, your olive groves, from zait. Zait, olive. Ha-tovim. Here, notice you have the adjective with the article in front of it, and probably indicates a superlative. The best, the choicest. See, so not only just the scrub parts of your fields, but your fields and your vineyards and your groves, the choicest yikach he will take. Okay? He's not painting a good picture here. And then here's the killer. Venatan la'av hadav. And he will give them to his servants. I think it means he'll give them over to his servants to work them. See, so actually they will have to give up part of their land for his own benefit. Okay? Any questions on verse 14? All right, he kind of switches patterns here. Notice that he doesn't have the et in front of it anymore. You know, spoken style, a little more relaxed. But he's now in another category. Vezare kem, vekarme kem, yasor. And your zera is seed. This is the plural. And your grain, probably good English. And your grain and karme kem. And your vineyards, and here he probably means the fruit of your vineyards, Yasor. This is from Asar. It means to take a tenth part of. In other contexts, it means to tithe. All right, so your grain and your vineyards, he will take a tenth of. And he will give them lesarisav. Saris, sometimes translated as eunuch, but here he will give them to his officers and to Avadav, to his servants. Questions through 15. Alright, good. Verse 16, he's not done yet. He's getting right down to the bare nub. Ve'et avdekem, ve'et shifchotekem, ve'et bachurekem, hatovim, ve'et chamorekem, yikach. Now again, he has the et here. And your own servants, your servants, male servants, and shifchotekem, and your female servants from Shifcha. So your male servants and your female servants, and et bahurekem, firstborn, the tovim, the choicest, okay, the best, and chamorekem, your asses, chamor, yikach, you will take. The asa, okay, now notice you have, look at the footnote there. As it's translated in Hebrew, and he will, you have to translate something like this in English, and he will use them for melaakto, and he will use them for his work. And he will use them for his work. Notice the footnote there, Qumran has ve'asu, and they will do his work, according to Qumran. See? Okay. Yeah, go ahead.
And that one, the Hatovim, that justifies back to the firstborns?
I think that the Hatovim in both of them probably refers to them all. I mean, kind of the default gender is masculine. So he probably just wants you to refer to, you know, the best, because he wants to emphasize the burden that's going to be put on the people if you have a king.
Well, because before, it was used at the end, right. So it looks more inclusive.
Yeah, this one is used
here,
at the end too. Well,
it has that next part,
right?
With the acids.
It looks like he's talking like this, so that he puts the hatovim after the servants, male servants, female servants, and choice men, the best ones. Okay, and then he just kind of adds this, and also your asses he will take, and even your asses he would take. So I don't know if you think of them as the lowliest pack animals. He's kind of going down the list from sons and daughters, notice, to the best of your fields, then to the produce of the field, now to your own servants, and finally he gets to the asses. All right? So it kind of makes sense that way. It doesn't even put hatovim, because asses maybe, I'm not sure, but maybe in that culture the ass is kind of the lowest of the beasts of burden that help. All right? But anyway, he's going to kind of conscript it all for his work. All right? Here he goes again, verse 17. And again, it's interesting when he has asar, he doesn't have the et. And I don't know why, but must not take it for some reason. It must be a matter of style. You'd have to look closer and more extensively to see how the word's used. But again, it's just an interesting point to note. Your flocks, yasor, he will take a tenth. Okay? Now he finally gets to them personally. Atem, and as for you, to you, you will be to him as servants. In other words, better English, you will be his avadim. You will become his servants. Okay? Questions through 17. All right, good. Verse 18. U ze'aktem bayom hahu mit lifnei malkekem asher bechartem lakem. And you will cry out, za'ak, simple call, second masculine plural. And you will cry out bayom hahu on that day, mit lifnei, from min and then lifnei, because of Malkekem, because of your king, Asher, whom Bechartem, whom you have chosen, Lakem, for yourself. Okay? But, Lo Ya'aneh Yahweh Etkem Bayom Hahu. But not will Yahweh answer you. Yahweh will not answer you from Anah. Everybody see that? Ya'aneh. He will not answer you Bayom Hahu on that day. Verse 19. Vayema anu ha'am lishmo bekol Shemuel. But now, what is the root of yema anu? Almost the first non-call we've had. Wow, that's pretty good. Not quite, but what's the root? Anyone see it? From ma'an. Yes, it's from ma'an. Okay, now. What conjugation is it?
It's PL.
Good. It's a PL. No dagish in the aleph. The aleph is actually spitted out, and it's hanging to the bottom of that patach under the mem for nice comments. Okay. So it is a PL vav consecutive from ma'an. It means to reject or refuse. So the people refused lishmoa. Notice. Lishmo is in what relationship to the verb? The people refused to listen. So notice it's the object of the verb. They refused what? They refused to listen or to obey. Notice Shema plus Beit. The voice of Shemuel, of Samuel. Vayomru, but they said, Lo! No way! Okay, notice the Masoretes even have a nice zakef there, so you pause a little bit. And they said, Lo, ki'in, but rather, ki posim, but rather, Emelech, a king, Yihyeh, will be aleinu, over us. Okay, but rather, so notice how they protest. Lo, no, but rather a king shall be over us. Okay? Any questions through verse 19. All right, verse 20. Ve'hayinu gam anachnu kekol hagoyim. Oh yeah. Ve'hayinu is from hayah, first common plural call. We will be, but we will be. Now notice the gam anachnu. Surely, so notice the gam here clearly functions to give emphasis to the we. Sure, and so it's, the whole phrase is expressing the people's commitment to the idea. Okay? The truthfulness of what they're saying. But we, certainly we, will be like all the nations. Okay? U shafatanu malkenu. And our king, shafatan. See, will rule over us. Shafat. That's how I'm translating shafat. And our king will rule over us, Vayatsa, and he will go out, Lefaneinu, and he will go out before us, Venilcham, and he will fight at Milchamotenu, our battles. Okay. So they like that idea. Alright, questions through 20. So yeah, it's kind of, we're going pretty good here. It's nice and easy, and we've seen a lot of the words before. Okay. Verse 21. Vayishma Shemuel et kol divrei ha'am. And Samuel heard et kol divrei, all the words of the people. Vayedab reim. This is kind of an interesting phrase, and I don't know quite what to make of it. And he spoke them into the ozne Yahweh, into the ears of Yahweh. Okay? I mean, now, how physical was the... I mean, it sounds like it's a pretty physical relationship, you know. Spoke it in Yahweh's hearing, I guess is probably a better way to put it. Right? So it's interesting that he went and told Yahweh. Verse 27. Vayomer Yahweh al Shimla. And Yahweh said to Samuel, it's very interesting how the narrative, you know, Yahweh and Samuel just talk to each other. And we kind of see that throughout the narrative. Yahweh makes his appearance, talks. And Yahweh said to Shemuel, Shema Bekolam. Listen to their voice. Shema, notice call imperative. Again with bait. You can translate that, obey. Obey their word or obey their voice. Vehimlakta. Okay. What's the root of himlakta? Malak. Conjugation. Hiphil. So if the call means to be king, we've seen that before, what's the hiphil?
Make.
And make or appoint for them a melech, a king. Okay? And notice how the vav plus perfect follows the imperative very often. You know, Moses talks like that all the time in Deuteronomy. Listen to their voice and appoint. So you translate it as almost as the preceding imperative. So obey their voice and appoint for them a king. Vayomer Shemuel, and Samuel said, El Anshe Yisrael. And Samuel said to the men of Israel, Leku ish le'iro. Leku is an imperative. Go. Go each of you to a city. So in English we probably say very idiomatically, everyone go home. Alright? Because now Samuel's got to find a king. So notice, the narrative doesn't bother relating that Samuel went and told the people all this, which he probably did. It's interested just in the details. Go home. He dismissed the people. Okay? We'll start with chapter 9 then next week. So, very good. Does anyone have any questions up to this point? Now it gets interesting because we start the whole story of Saul and David. So, thanks very much for coming.